up. That is, you interlock the two.
Now stretch them quite as
soccer and a fifth.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
Are we recording already here?
How's this?
Happy days. Hello, everybody.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Full Reptile Radio, Halloween edition. That's a bit creepy.
It is a bit creepy, isn't it?
I haven't watched... I don't watch horror movies anymore.
I didn't until I met Stace, which was 1998, and I was 17. But before that, my cousin once made me watch Chucky, which was the most terrifying thing, the Child's Play film, and she was babysitting us. And when we went to bed, she put us to bed at my dad's house. I was about, what? I don't know, 11, 10? And I've never been into horror film. I don't like being made jump. It makes me angry. I've literally sat Stacey's dad down and said, if I ever punch her in the face, it's because she made me jump. And she still does it. Like, she'll stand at the bottom of the stairs and waiting for me to come down. And then,
yeah.
And just everything tenses up. I don't like it. So I made a point of never watching horror films because when my cousin put us to bed, she then waited till we were just nodding off and grabbed our ankle and was like, hi, I'm Chucky. Want to play?
No.
I can't
be doing that.
It's fucking horrible.
I've still got a sweet. I've got one of the
old school
herbals.
Gray's Herbal Tablets, established over 100 years ago. This packet, I think, is from over 100 years ago.
Hook us up, Gray's.
How long you had this, Jamie?
99 years. Inherited it off his granddad. Pops.
My granddad always used to have them in his pocket at football matches.
I've always got them in
Army
my
and Navy.
Yeah.
Cough Candy Twist, Herbal Tablets.
Do you see the person that had Fisherman's Friend, the lady that...
They were never any good.
So check it out. Fisherman, it's worth something like $4.1 billion.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
What, Fisherman's Friends are
So
they?
Fisherman's Friend lady, she married this bloke. Let's call him Dave. And then Dave's brother, call him John.
They're not very fisherman names, though, are they, Dave and John?
Oh,
John's pretty good.
Skipper John,
that's nice. I like that.
Hook Hand Phil,
because
he lost his hand in an accident. Mm. But the first
Paul
husband...
Paul and Bill, here we go.
Yeah, there you go. Mm. The first husband and the brother, nothing to do with them. She married the brother's son, so her nephew, made Fisherman's Friend... And took it global.
Yeah.
And she died the other day and she left it all to charity.
Really?
Yeah. Proper kick in the twat. Millions. I'm sure it was more than million. It was like billion.
I wonder how many packets of Fisherman's Friends they'd have to sell to make
they're
that kind of money.
Everywhere. You try going into a shop
everywhere.
And them not having it.
And they've got different types as well, different flavours, aren't they?
But they only introduced that when Lego started licensing Star Wars and stuff. It wasn't always.
No, it was the white packet,
the
right?
White packet, which was
paper
like
packet.
A horrible, mustardy, horseradish, wanky flavour.
Yeah.
If I'd have got to my granddad with like a honey and lemon,
yeah,
he's fuming.
Yeah.
Not having them.
It's too enjoyable.
Yeah.
You've got to suffer.
Flavour?
Suffer.
Yeah.
This will burn your nostrils open.
Mm.
So what flavour would you call it? I mean, it's aniseed, isn't it, I suppose?
Is it aniseed-y? I've only ever tried it a couple of times because it was one of them where someone gave it me as a trick and I was like when you give a dog an egg.
Yeah, like Mystery likes those fucking sweets. Do you remember them blue things that you picked? Were we at Matlock?
Yes.
You got a bag and it...
Sour balls.
It was salty.
Mate, it turned my face inside out. I think they lasted. Of the three that he gave us each, or one each, mine and yours lasted less than...
Yeah, mine was gone in.
Was
gross. It was like salty washing up liquid.
Yeah.
That's what it tasted
I'm
like.
I'm not into it. Like the kids will do it. They'll go in and the problem is they've got a lot of me in them where they'll go, oh, something new. I'll try that. Because like we don't know that Kit Kat is pretty good in the first place. Now I wanted salted caramel, minted fucking unicorn Kit Kat. And they'll get it because it's new. But it's never as good.
Mm.
Like the OG is always, you always lean back on it. Do you know what
fucking
I mean?
Kit Kats were good, weren't they?
Yeah, but I never felt that they were a treat. Like if someone went to a shop and bought themselves a Kit Kat, I'm like, what are you doing? Watch it, Darth. It's all right.
Yeah, man, good. Saved it.
Good. So when
Darth Maul took a beating, though.
He did.
He's in between his legs.
Half both of them put back together as well.
There we go.
Which is nice.
There we go. Yeah, go on, Kit Kats.
So when we go to the shop, if someone said to me, do you want some sweets?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going high ticket. I'm looking at Munchies or something along that line. So something that I'm getting a decent amount for my money and it's not in the cupboard. Because we used to get, I know we were poor, but our treat was we had 1 2-litre bottle of Coke in some form. So it was cola or Coke or whatever it was, normally cheap. Lemonade, which I don't think you can't go wrong with cheap lemonade. It doesn't really matter. And then we'd have a packet of Kit Kats, the two fingers, and a packet of Penguins.
Penguins were good.
Sometimes if they weren't them, you'd maybe go into a Viscount, a Breakaway, club. A club. Yeah. A trio.
Everyone likes a club. Everyone likes a trio.
If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join
there
a club.
There you go. What about a wagon wheel? Is that too lavish?
Ah.
No, not like them. No, not
man.
Not a marshmallow
What
fan.
Are you doing? I like marshmallow, but when it makes the biscuit soggy.
That's true. But then they put jam in them and saved them, didn't they? Jammy wagon wheels.
I've never been into jammy or wagon wheels. I'm just,
No, really.
I couldn't let them do it. No.
Mm. But if you had to pick one, though, if you had to pick one to eat for the rest of your life, what would it be?
One biscuit for tea.
Yeah.
Because I class them as a...
Well, they're biscuits,
aren't
they?
That's a Dunkin' biscuit. That's not a...
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. When you go to the shop, if someone says, grab us a Kit Kat, you're like, I've got to reevaluate while we're hanging around.
Yeah.
That's fucking insane.
Unless you're putting the kettle on.
Yeah. And they're going to go for like a chunky dunk. Because have you seen the people that make snorkels out of the chunky Kit Kats? Some people call them a snorkel. Some people call them like an orgasm. And basically, you bite the end off of either opposite corners of a penguin.
Yeah.
Or a Tim Tam, if you're in Australia. Shout out to Tim Tams. Or they'll bite the two ends off of a chunky Kit Kat and they drink their tea through it.
Is that right?
It's filth, isn't it?
Mm.
It's a bit like a battered
Mars
bar.
But then that makes your teeth... You know then that makes your Kit Kat all soggy inside.
They don't give a fuck at that point. They're just indulging.
Does the chocolate hold its integrity? I'd imagine it falls
apart. Yeah, the walls on a Kit Kat chunky are pretty decent. Yeah. Mm. Even though they're a biscuit. They don't do bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I like. I remember these came out a few years ago and I'll say a few. I was working at Port and Leisure Centre, so like 15 years ago or some shit.
Wow.
Dark Mars bars.
Mm.
Do you not like them? No. Mars bar dark, and then they had like the nugget part was like lighter. It was it's fucking delicious.
I remember them because obviously I was at Thornton's. So the problem is, I was never a massive chocolate person in the first place. I was more crisps. But when you get there, they're like, you can eat as much as you like.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. That's like
gold.
Out of control.
Well, a lot of people it worked on.
Well, what's the best thing that Thornton's make? Like, if I was going into a Thornton's shop now and I was buying one thing of chocolate, what would it be?
I don't know, because their chocolate is quite rich. Their chocolate's too rich for me.
I told V that Cadbury's World isn't far away. She almost lost her shit.
Yeah, yeah.
We were almost on the way to the van.
Yeah, let's go.
No.
See, I always wanted to go as a Not kid, yet. And then I went and worked at Thornton's. And if my kids are now like, we want to go there, I'd say, no, you can come here. Learn the trade. I'll take you properly. But... We did chocolate for Marks and Spencer's, Next, Debenhams. Like, there was so many.
Oh, is that right? They all made the same place.
Yeah, Thornton. We even did some Cadbury stuff at one point back in the day.
Yeah.
But it was one of them where their stuff's just a bit too rich. So it was more, their toffee is next level.
Is it?
Yeah. Thornton's toffee was always good. But you had to smash it with the same size hammer that they would put in the box. And bear in mind, the slabs were like half the size of this table, and you'd have someone just putting it in front of you, and I'd just be sat there with a shitty plastic glove, not a rubber glove.
Yeah.
One of those, like, you know when people dye their hair, they get like a really waffle thin...
Oh, is this before they get packaged?
Yeah,
So you had to do the smashing?
Mate, my first job there...
I thought it'd be your kind of job, that. Toffee smasher.
Bam, bam. Yeah, I was good.
That'd be your nickname if you're a fighter.
Yeah, I was good
toffee
at that.
Toffee smasher.
Yeah, but some people would think it'd be a bit like... What's that mean?
I'm not throwing.
What was the other guy's name? Sawbomb. But we'd have these shit gloves and the smallest toffee hammer, and I'd be sat probably 2 foot higher than you, and I would smash the shit out of this toffee, but it had to be a certain size.
Right.
Then you'd shove it forward, and honestly, the splinters, because the toffee was frozen, the splinters I would have in my hands of like pure toffee. So you'd try and suck the splinter out, and you'd be getting a treat. So then that would come down into your tray, and you'd basically fill a box. But if you were on the toffee belt, you would find toffee in your pants, down your shirt. It was everywhere.
Yeah, because you were fucking putting it there.
No, mate.
You pull your pants open and pull all those toffee shards into it pants.
Mate, it was a shrapnel shake around. So there was a grid. It was like a grate that you find in the street. And that was sort of a crisscross pattern sat where you're chopping. So anything too small fell through there. And it was a big blue industrial waste food bag on the bottom. And mate, they used to.
How many times you take
give them,
home or
with you? Sell them?
Right.
My grandma, diabetic. He's still doing them toffee bags. Not for you, grandma. Definitely not. What happened? Funny story. Owen killed her with 10 kilos of fucking toffee. And it just melted straight back together. So
found her sitting on the sofa with toffee splinters all in all the fingers.
Mate, the dogs used to love it because I'd get in from work and I'd see the dogs and they were like, you know, when a dog intent is just. What the fuck is this? Really investigating. And then just sit, because they've got no lips.
Of course not.
So they can't form a decent seal to suck the toffee out. So they're like, when he's asleep, that motherfucker's hands are getting licked. Kind of scary.
So what's your, do you have trick or treaters around your end?
Yes.
Still right, yeah.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's good. There's
not
one
dropped
guy,
off since the pandemic, you know?
No, I mean, before, where I grew up, it was kind of posh and a bit poncy schmonts. So you didn't really go round and.
You get Viscounts on the doorstep and stuff. You know,
no, like, it was just...
Fancy chocolate.
They just wouldn't open the door.
Oh, were they not?
No. I mean, I can remember me and my mate, Ryan, came over. And it was one of them where we were learning about crime. And I was into shoplifting at the time. So Ryan sort of accepted me into his crew, which I felt was a big deal. And then I realised that Ryan's crew is only Ryan. Because he turned up at my house and... me and him at school were about, I don't think we were even 5 foot tall. So we were walking around like the two criminals. And he bought a suitcase with him. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And he opened it up and he had half a tennis ball in there, because that can open any Ford car.
Right.
Apparently. Just bang it on the door. Yeah. He had a very small beanie, a bit like Slim's.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of other Robin things. And I was like, why have you bought a whole briefcase? But he'd fully, like he'd watched
the Hitman. Bought you a stripy sweater.
Yeah, yeah. Drop Dead Fred.
I fucking love that movie.
So I was like, okay. And we basically went and spent all our money on eggs. We didn't get any flour. We just bought eggs. And where I did my paper round, stupidly, we went there. So it's Broadway in Duffield, which is really fancy. And all the houses are fucking huge. So I was like, we'll hit the mother load. Well, when we realised we got a third of the way up and no one was answering the door. And then there was a girl that lived. And so we were like, she's definitely going to answer. Because the girl that we were with played netball with her.
Right.
So she's definitely going to open the door, which they didn't. So we egged her van, which was a VW camper.
Oh.
But we obviously got away. We ran like mad.
And so she's just fine about this now then?
Well, maybe. She's not going to listen to this. She doesn't give a fuck. She won't remember who I am. But when
she
I was
remembers
school,
her egg getting, a van she, getting
she,
egged,
she remembers that because at school... She was spouting some shit about 14 grand's worth of damage. And you know when a story just gets way out of hand that you're part of it? And every part of me sat there and he's like, yeah, she's, well, yeah. My dad reckons it's about 14 grand's worth of damage. And I'm thinking, every part of me understands.
You
go,
bullshit.
Chill the fuck out.
Bullshit.
Dickhead. £14. You might need a wash, but you should have given us some sweets.
Right.
But they didn't. So, yeah, we don't do it. We never did it much. My mum didn't really like us going out too much because it was a main, like we lived on the main road.
Mm.
And she knew I was stupid, so I would probably die. But the kids go, and there's a family that live two doors away from us. And one of them, I think it's Ollie, dressed up as it. Dude,
oh,
it was the
no.
best thing ever. And my kids haven't seen it. They know who he is, but where the house is, you know, all of our doorways are quite dark.
Uh-huh.
Theirs is extra dark. So we were all stood on this thing because like we took... my nieces, nephews and everything, because round us is quite close, it's nice. So off we went, stood on the door, and they literally opened the door and I could see the balloon through the glass. I could see a red balloon. I'm thinking, this is either going to mean that I'm sat holding my kids and going to sleep for the next 5 years or it's going to scare the kids that don't belong to me, so that's fine. So this little balloon's just floating and they open the door dead slow and he's got the voice, hello, really nailed, fucking, honestly, it sent shivers down my back. And then they turn the light on. And these kids shit their pants.
Oh,
it was worth
hell.
Every second. So I don't know what he's going to do this year. I'm probably more excited about what he's doing.
Mm.
But yeah, we've got to do costumes. Libby wants to be she wants to dress up, but she wants to be a Jurassic Park worker that's been attacked.
Nice.
Which is fine. but she's struggling at the minute because she doesn't feel that normal clothes constitute as a costume. So like Moo's wearing like a vampire dress, which is funny because, you know, you'll notice more when you have kids. The amount of times you go to a fancy dress party or a Halloween party, or there was the last day of school last week for our kids, and one of the lads came out and he had a red trilby on.
Nice.
Now, all his mates, oh, it's a black trilby, pinstripe with a red band. Now, I know this trilby really, really, really well because I bought Stace that outfit from Ann Summers in 2001. it's under the bed somewhere. Right. It's in the box. It's laundered. It's clean. But part of the outfit is the trilby. Right. So this kid walking past me feeling like he was Bugsy Malone, I'm thinking, where's your mom?
Oh, no.
What does she look like? And every year...
Can you dry clean a hat?
I don't know. But the problem is, you see these kids, and obviously they've gone up to their mom and gone, I want to be a whatever. And they've literally gone from like, oh, shit, well, we've got that. And it's like, let me just go in my dressing up box. You could be a nurse. It's like, darling, it's crotchless. Oh, yeah, can't be a nurse. Okay, you could be a fire lady. And it's like the amount of times, because you stand waiting for your kid to come out and all the other kids go past you. And you guarantee there's 10% of them in sex outfits. It's just like, oh, man. And I don't always, I'm not the most quiet person, but I just find it interesting that like I've not stooped to that point yet. I've not dressed up one of our kids in an Ann Summers knockoff or something that they're going to be going trick-or-treating.
Not yet.
No, but...
So how do you do an attacked Jurassic Park worker then?
So I've got the logo and I've just got to print it on a hood and shred it up. Because the problem is you could go with a t-shirt, but it's cold.
Yeah.
So like anything skimpy, anything that you would normally wear, like when you watch if you've watched Hubie Halloween, which is Adam Sandler, it's wicked. It's a good film I think he just made it for his kids. But the American stereotypical fucking Kellogg's family street, you know, where it's massive trees, no cars, no murders, no rapists, and literally fucking nothing bad, just all the kids in so many different outfits. Because it's freezing here, like part of it's good that you've got all this outfit on, but then when you have to put a puffer jacket over the top.
Yeah, it kind of ruins
Are you dressed like that?
Kind of ruins the vibe. Yeah.
I'm a sexy pirate.
Like, can't they have an Arctic Jurassic Park worker?
Yeah, maybe.
You know? I mean, those pterodactyls did fly off south, didn't they?
Maybe just have one straight through her. She just has to carry it the whole way out. Who threw that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so I don't know. Moo wants to be a vampire, but now she's 13. She's going to be 14, and she's just starting to, like, notice girly stuff. And it's weird because you kind of feel like you lose them two or three times. So when they, like, start calling you dad instead of daddy or whatever it is, like, little bits you just get chipped away. And then she came downstairs. My niece gave her some dresses the other day and she looked like a lady. She looked like a woman. And I was like, oh God, she's gone. Fucked it. And I've always said to her, if she ever gets a boyfriend, I'm going to have to lock him in the shed. Yeah. My shed's full, but it's a thing I would definitely do. Exactly. Yeah. So I've got to the point where like I've made this threat, but now I've got nowhere to put all my shit in. And I just know someone's going to knock on the door and I can't be handling it at the minute.
Yeah.
It's bad. But yeah, so we'll be doing trick or treat at some point. We had two really good neighbours that lived on the opposite end of the street and they used to give so much stuff. Like they made a big fuss. They decorated and now they're moving. It's shit.
Oh, that's a shame.
You know when you get used to stuff?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a weird one. But we're trying to introduce the kids at the minute to like scary films because, like I said, I never watched scary films because I was terrified after the Chucky incident. So we did, do you remember Brothers Grimm with Heath Ledger?
Matt Damon.
It was really good.
Matt Damon.
And then Van Helsing.
Van Helsing was good.
I tried to tell them.
With Beckinsdale.
Yeah.
Although she's much better in Wolverine. Underworld. Yeah, right.
What are you doing? Dipping my toe. Just seeing if I like the superhero business.
Yeah.
That'll pay off for him.
The Underworld movies were good.
Yeah, but they're
a bit too much.
Yeah, well, it's like any film.
What about Blade?
Mate. Sick. That made 131 million and saved the Marvel franchise. Do you know that?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that part of the Marvel franchise, Blade?
The first Marvel. Yeah, that's the first one. Yeah.
He should have shown up in the rest of them. I'd like seeing Blade alongside Thor.
If Thanos was like, I'm just about to snap and Blade's like, no, motherfucker. Do you know what I mean? coffee's nice with cream, but it's always that? Better black. I know that's from Passenger 57, but...
Is it? Well, it's almost.
It's Wesley,
almost.
Isn't it?
Do you remember that first scene with the music in the nightclub?
Yeah.
Dun, 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 and he throws that fucking... What's it called?
The death...
Like the boomerang thing. And he spins around the... It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's when everyone went to...
What a movie.
To it and got the blade replica sword. You know, it had like it had a shit handle because Whistler had made it so that if he hadn't picked it up, smash your handle.
And blades come out.
Yeah. But, I mean, Stace always wants to watch number 3, which is the one that flopped out of all of them because it had...
They don't have Ryan Reynolds.
That's the exact reason she watched it.
Is that, yeah?
Yeah.
I thought they were all pretty
good. Ryan Reynolds and Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Triple H from wrestling was in it.
Was he?
Yeah.
I haven't watched that in a
with
while.
With his long flowing locks and vampire teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loved it.
The first one was brilliant though.
Mate, amazing. Brilliant. Amazing. Especially when, if you ever got surround sound, the two films to set up surround sound off was Matrix Bullet Time.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of people have done this. If you've got surround sound set up and the one you try all your speakers is Bullet Time because it's literally...
Oh, you can hear them flying
off every corner, which was brilliant. And the other one was like the disco scene. I think it's early on in Blade. You know, he slides down the ladder.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And obviously it's all kicking off.
Yep.
But yeah, so that was on... I can't remember where I read it, but I think that it made 131 million, jeez, of which Wesley paid nothing in tax.
Of course he did.
Went to prison.
Yeah.
We didn't, Wes. But yeah, so that was apparently what saved Marvel.
Is that right? I tell you, another good vampire movie is Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
Christian Slater, not like that one.
I was not a massive fan. I always preferred Tarantino. What's it called? Dust Till Dawn.
What a movie.
I was always put up by the tattoo, though, because everyone sort of started wanting Clooney's tattoo.
Yeah, they did a bit, didn't they?
And it was up close, it was dog shit.
Yeah. Did you see that picture of that guy with the McGregor tattoo? He's got the gorilla, but it's like here.
No.
And he's like small and all kind of fucking distorted and stuff. Yeah, it was a bit odd.
I don't think you can do that, can you?
No, I don't think so.
No, it's bad. But I mean, for a Dust Till Dawn, the closest and the best was Roger Huerta. You remember Roger Huerta's...
He had a good tattoo.
He had a left sleeve. Was
yeah,
sick.
He did.
He was the first fighter on Fighters on Sports Illustrated. First MMA fighter ever.
He was.
Strangely. Don't know why I remember that.
He was at coaching in Thailand for a while. Thailand's opening back up.
Oh, really?
Yep. No quarantine, no vaccines, no nothing.
Oh, nice.
Party time.
We don't care. Come on in.
I've never been there. I'm going to have to go.
I've never been. I know a lot of people have been. My mate went and he went to Vegas... He's the best place I've ever been in my life. I'll never go anywhere else. And we're like, nice one. He's known as Dirty Mike. So Dirty Mike went to Vegas, loved it, and then found out about Thailand, went on his own. I don't know what he bought back.
Oh, no.
We didn't see him for 3 weeks. But when he came back, even after the surgery and everything.
He's patient zero yeah, for COVID.
He was like, best place I've ever been. I will never go anywhere else. And only ever went to Thailand. He said he paid for a guide. So he was in a bar and he said there was ladies everywhere. And he said, and there was one that came over, but he was talking to her.
Is that why he bought a guide?
That's what I said.
Because there were too many ladies.
Yeah.
Where do I start?
He would have been
better
off.
Give me a summary of each. Score out of 10.
Mate, honestly, the stuff he told me is probably illegal to say now. So
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, but it was, he loved it. And obviously Wayne went, he went and got married there.
Mm.
So yeah, it's big time. But
I'd end up filling a shipping container and bringing loads of gloves and stuff back there.
Everything, yeah.
Kit the whole new gym out with it.
Dude, but they've got everything and it's all good as well. Like Jamie's there at the minute and the stuff he's doing is sick.
Yeah, George Hickman sent me a photo of him winning with his hand being raised the other day. Yeah.
What are you doing?
He's doing well.
Taking over, motherfucker. Yeah.
He's retired from regular work. He's now just being a fighter, isn't he?
What are you doing? Just doing some jiu-jitsu. Why not? But yeah, so what were we on? Halloween. That's what I was going to tell you.
What were you going to tell me?
Probably my most shameful Halloween horror story moment.
Oh, go on then.
Me and Stace have been going out for about, I don't know, we got together in November. So I don't think it was that year. It might have been the first year we were together. So it wasn't very long.
Mm.
It could have been the year after. And basically, she loves being made jump. Fucking loves it. Which, like I've mentioned, I despise being made jump. So we had a video shot where Dean lived. He lived behind the police station, not in a cell, but like in a flat. And it was a shit dump, but we loved it. And next to that was the petrol station. And the petrol station started renting movies. But it was one of the old classic things where they only had one copy of each tape.
Right.
And they had these little red triangles that said on lease or it was out. So if that was on it, you couldn't have it. And they'd sat for about 20 minutes saying they're going to watch Scream 2. And I hadn't watched Scream, or I Know What You Did Last Summer, or Urban Legend. None of that shit. Freddy, none. I'd just avoided it. So there I am with my, obviously, new girlfriend, soon to be wife, whatever, trying to put on the big act. And I headed out to the petrol station first because I didn't want to watch a horror film. So I made sure they were all on rent, right? Which sent the guy in the counter into a fucking meltdown because now he didn't know what was out and what was in, all because of my insecurity, which mental health wasn't a good thing.
So you went and switched all the things around.
Literally took anything off. If I had a red triangle, I put it on Scream 2. Fuck you, not watching you. Or you, Hellraiser, none of that shit. Fucking
Hellraiser was weird.
Don't know. Never saw it.
Did you not?
No. So they then all turned up and I'm still at the bar buying our beers and whatnot. So I did the whole, anything you want, just stick it in.
Yeah, whatever.
Trying to distract them. And I'm like, oh no, Scream 2's out. And the fucking guy behind the counter stuck his head out and was like, what? No, it's not. He's just put all the tabs on. And I was like, I spent 10 minutes telling him, I'm fucking, I don't want to watch this shit. Do me a favor.
Also, he knew as well.
He fucking, yeah, of course he did. He threw me straight under the bus. So then, yeah, Stace didn't let me live that down. But he was like with all my closest mates at the time. And we're fucking just in college, smoking a load of weed, doing a load of boxing, proper like rugged shit. And I didn't want to watch a horror film. So
did you end up having to watch it then?
Yeah, we did. And then I realized it's not that bad.
It's kind of shit, isn't it? It's really
shit. Yeah.
Hellraiser, on the other hand. Fucking hell.
Terrified you.
Just weird. Just odd. Just weird. Because I had a mate when I was at secondary school, so we were probably about, I don't know, 12 or 13, but he had everything. I mean, he was really into manga, like Guyver and all those kind of things, but he also liked anything that was like way too old for him.
Yeah.
And he had all, like, I think he had, what, three Hellraisers there, three of them?
I would have thought so.
Like, he had all three of them. And I remember watching them on, like, 2 o'clock in the morning on a, like, Friday night when we're having a sleepover, watching Pete. So I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, why is this on?
I mean, it was just, just weird for the sake of being weird.
Yeah, it was always aggro. The problem was, not only did I have the issue of me not wanting to watch it, I also had the point that my mum and dad were divorced, and anything my mum could have on my dad, anything, the smallest thing, she would fucking run the wheels off it.
Right.
So I was more into RoboCop, Terminator, anything with Chuck Norris. Like, there's a film with Chuck Norris where he gets caught in the jungle. You can pick probably any of the films. I can't remember which one it was.
He only has a knife.
Yeah. Only he gets caught. He gets put in a noose. They put a bag over his head and put a rat in the bag.
What?
And I was like, that's a bit fucked up. And my dad was like, yeah, well, it's to torture him. But don't worry. That's Chuck Norris. At which point, then they take the bag off and he's got the rat in his mouth, like, next. And so that was cool. So the thing was, that shit didn't scare me, or the war stuff didn't scare me. But I'd go home and tell my mum, and without Google, without fuck all, she could research anything and find out the RoboCop's an 18 and extremely gory. And so she would just fucking go mental. So when we get to the video shop the next week, I'm like, Dad, can we? And he's like, just let your mum cool down a bit, mate. No. You're not allowed to watch it. So it was a bit, it was always a toss up. So it was more like war films and stuff like that. But it was just better back then.
I just, like, anything horror movie was, like, it didn't used to bother me too much. I just used to find it kind of weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, the shit that scared me was like Jaws.
Yeah, because it's real.
Mate, I remember,
I don't mean Jaws is real, but I mean, there's sharks.
Well, yeah, fuck. I mean, you know, like, yeah. Anyway. There's a scene in it. I can't remember if it's fucking what, one or two, but there's a, you'll know it. Like, a boat gets nudged and a head comes out of it.
Yeah.
Fuck, I literally jumped from one side of the room to the other when that happened. Fucking terrible.
But job well done.
Yeah, for sure. Join. But like, I'd rather watch something like that if I'm going to, than like anything that's kind of weird. Like, remember Jeepers Creepers when that came out?
Yeah. What are you doing?
Like Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
Like,
if it's too fake, it's like with It, psychologically, it is fantastic.
Yeah.
But then when he opens his mouth and there's a load of teeth, and I know it's fucked up because a clown lives in a sewer, but it's not a million miles away. Yeah. I mean, he keeps them white, Candyman. Super white. It's just a bit daft with the bees and, like, I don't know. To me, there's a film with Jake Gyllenhaal called Prisoners. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's fucking terrifying.
Is it? I haven't seen that.
Basically, a kid gets kidnapped and he goes on a rampage trying to find the fucking, and I can't ruin it because it is absolutely golden.
but it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Same as The Road with Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
You just feel cold and horrible. Like, we watched Threads at school, and Threads was about a nuclear explosion in Sheffield. What would happen? And I saw, it was the most terrifying thing I've ever seen until I watched a programme on BBC that never got repeated. It was actually in the paper the other day because someone killed themselves because it was that scary.
Fucking hell.
And it was, do you remember Sarah Green, who used to do like Going Live and This Morning and all that sort of shit? Basically, they'd set up these cameras and it was the first of its kind. There was no like Big Brother or any of that shit. It was years ago, probably 93, 94. And a family had reported that this poltergeist was communicating with them through the pipes. They called him Mr. Pipes. And honestly, it was fucking terrifying. Even my mum at the time was like, I wish I hadn't watched it. And genuinely, people had killed themselves from watching this program. And to this day, they've never replayed it. Which I can remember just catching. You know when you go downstairs to get a drink or something, you stand behind the settee or whatever, and you're watching, you're not meant to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, I fucking regretted that. Honestly, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't do anything. I was just terrified.
Yeah. Do you remember Cloverfield?
Yes.
Yeah. There was a good scene in that, and it's just a moment where they like looked around the corner of the house and someone just walked across the end.
Yeah.
Like I like those. Have you seen Attack the Block?
Yes.
That's a fucking good
movie.
Yeah,
where they don't need to show you what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know there's enough of it. Yeah. You're like,
I'd say Dog Soldiers is a good one.
Amazing.
As well.
Amazing.
Oh, have you seen that? I went to see that cinema. I didn't know what was going to be what it was going to be. That was really good.
I think that was filmed around my way. I think it was filmed Ashbourne way.
Yeah.
Because it was a budget film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know you can tell a bit when you get up close to the old wobbly fingers, but like it was...
I sure remember the bit where the guy's trying to put his guts back in.
Yeah, with super glue.
He's like trying to put his fucking...
I need these. You're like, not for long.
Yeah. I've only seen that one, so I might have to put that on.
Yeah, well, we watched Shaun of the Dead.
Good movie.
With the girls, because I thought...
And Hot Fuzz.
Yeah,
movie.
Exactly. So they were safe enough that it's not mad gory, but it was one of them that is... it's good that it gets them into that little bit more...
Yeah.
Just a little bit better rather than you watching shit films. But in Shaun of the Dead, Nick Frost drops the N-bomb.
Does he?
No shit. Both girls looked at me like, that shouldn't be in there. And I was like, no, you're fucking right, but... What was it, 2004?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And he's literally stood because they go and pick up the mum or whatever, and he stood and he shouts it to them, to the whole, all the people coming towards the car. And I was like, I mean, I know Netflix, they nerf quite a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But
thought they'd have nerfed that one.
I would have thought that they'd, I thought Nick Frost would have got a bit of a dude.
The Hot Fuzz is a good one as well, though.
Yeah, it is good.
And Run, Fat Boy, Run. See, that's got Dylan Moran in it.
I don't mind Run, Fat Boy,
He's
Run.
One of my favourite comedians, Dylan Moran.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
Did you watch Black Books? You seen that one?
No, because I was watching Phoenix Nights.
Oh, mate, what a show.
Yeah.
Get back, you bastard. I'll break your legs.
Mate. Well, I grew up, my granddad was the doorman at a working men's club.
Mate.
So he was Brian Potter.
I think anybody from our generation, our economic background, they went to a lot of parties at those things.
Yeah, yeah. When he's got Sammy Snake.
Birthdays.
It's a 6 foot cock and balls, man. No, it's a snake. What's the balls? Snake's eggs. Fucking straps down.
What was the fucking punchline he kept going to? Not ping pong balls, King Kong's balls.
Yeah, fucking gold.
Yeah, good that. He kind of disappeared, didn't he, Peter Kay? He was on everything for a while.
He had a bit of, he did, because the first time I ever saw him was on, he did a show called Services, where he played four different characters or three different characters of a service station.
Huh.
And it was before that Peter Kay thing. It was before Phoenix Nights. It was before Blackpool. And the way I used to find a lot of this nonsense shit that I would dig up was because I wouldn't finish Thornton's till 11. I would then go to the chippy. I'd get home and eat whatever I've got. And I would sit up. And the thing was, because I wasn't at college till, say, 10, I'd sit up till like 3.
Yeah.
But you're watching Renegade and reruns of fucking Ice Tea in this, what was that called? Hey, this is IT, these are my associates. And basically, he got let out of prison to run, like, covert ops with the police. Because he was such a good thief, him and his two associates were then working with the police.
Right.
I can't remember what it's called, you'll find it. But it's dog shit. But it was one of them that I'd sit, you just sit and watch because you've got nothing else to do. And so Services came up on that, which was good. Then he did that Peter Kay thing, which was Where Is the Ice Cream Man and all the other ones.
Yeah.
Then Phoenix Nights, which is by far the best. Then Max and Paddy. And then he did that fucking... It was essentially, it should have been, in my opinion, a 5-minute skit about the X Factor.
Right.
Where they tell such a ridiculous backstory that someone's nan's legs fell off.
Was it that guy with the big nose and the curly head that he played?
Yeah.
And it was like him and his wife were singing together and then they split up.
But he played a woman and he played him. Yeah. But the woman was like Geraldine or some shit. But because her nan's legs fell off and filled with tobacco and then fell into this, like the most stupid story.
Yeah.
But it was kind of, they just went on and I think there was like 6 episodes, but it was too much of the same shit.
Yeah.
And then I think he had a breakdown. I know he did his tours, but I know that he was really poorly.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he was fucking everywhere for like a couple of years. Like I remember like Christmas Day and Boxing Day. Guaranteed. Everyone showed up with a DVD. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Top of the Tower, have you seen this? And then he did the Mum Wants a Bungalow tour.
Yeah.
He was fucking brilliant though, wasn't he?
Well, I got tickets to the Bungalow tour and it was my best mate. My best mate's dad. I was the same with Peter Kay as I was with the UFC. So I find something... I think I know who's going to fucking dig this. So I took it straight to Sam's. I recorded it on a VHS. It used to be Overboard and Only Fools and Horses, but I knocked the tab off. So we went in, I give Sam this Blackpool Tower and he shared it with his dad. So then when he got his tickets to for his birthday off his dad for the Mum Wants a Bungalow tour, it was sold out. So he literally sat with his girlfriend at the time and was like, oh, amazing, I'll take Owen. She went apeshit. But I still went. I went and we watched it. It was good. Yeah. It was really good. But I mean, it's one of them where a lot of stuff, even like the Fast Show, Shaun of the
fucking
Dead.
Brilliant the Fast Show was.
A lot of stuff wouldn't get made.
Fast
now.
Show, Red Dwarf.
Mate, Only for Men Behaving Badly.
Yeah, Harry Enfield and Chums.
Can you remember The High Life? And it was like a Scottish... We're living the high life.
Yeah, vaguely.
And it was like a cabin
One Foot
crew.
In the Grave. Oh. One Foot in the Grave, he was brilliant. Victor
Meldrew. Do you know his phone number?
I did believe it.
Do you remember his phone number?
No.
4291. Google it. He picks up a dog. Picks up the dog, and this little puppy's in the house, and he picks up like, this tiny sausage dog. 4291. It's not even enough numbers for a phone. Not even in 1987. That's not it. What's your phone number? 6. Do you know what I mean?
That was a good show, that was.
Yeah, it was good. But there was a load of them. One Foot in the Grave, Waiting for God.
Mm-hmm.
All that sort of shit. Stuff
Rising
you,
Damp.
Yeah, shit that you would sit and watch when
Mate, the young
you could
ones.
Scarve off school.
I've been laughing at old young ones jokes all week this week. I'll tell you why, because I bought some orange hair dye. I was going to bleach and dye my hair orange.
Really?
Yeah. I was going to, I ain't got around to it
Go
yet.
Back for a full Chris Lyle.
Like Vivian style, you know what I mean? But do all of it.
Yeah.
Do all of it. It's getting a bit longer now. It's grown out a little bit.
Oh, man. Well, I was talking about Rick Mail the other day, because we were watching... I said to my mate, I was
fucking
making
Bottom
a
Bottom was so good as well, wasn't it?
Bottom and Guest House Paradiso, which they had so many of the same jokes because obviously people had missed them. But there's a bit where he traps the tip of his penis in the till drawer because his name in Guest House Paradiso is Mr. Well, it's spelt twat, but he's like Mrs. Bouquet and he calls it Thwait. So
Thwait.
As literally.
Was making, he Richard in Bottom, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Eddie Hitler. Any relation? Yeah. So I was making a brew and I can't remember, me and David were playing, we were either playing golf or Call of Duty or whatever we were playing. And we'd called like a piss break. So I'd nicked out, I'd gone and made my brew. And I was literally, you know, when you're in a bit of a flow and you sort of, everything's done, you've rolled a nice skinny, you've got the kettle boiling, everything's going good. I was far too much concentrating on this flow that I was in. That I got a teaspoon out of one hand and shut the drawer with my hip while my other hand was still on the drawer. And it literally caught
just the tip.
Less than a millimetre, but the pain, honestly. And I went, oh, I just shut the tip of my penis in the tall drawer. And obviously, David's on the other end. Like, and I think he'd just taken a massive drag and he'd gone, you fucking what? And I was like, sorry. And assuming he was going to get the reference, he was like, what the fucking hell are you doing with your fucking trousers down in the kitchen? And I was like, no. It was the tip of my finger. And he was like, you said penis. I was like, yeah, it's off Bottom. It's off.
Get the reference.
He does it in Bottom where he traps the tip of his finger in the drawer. I think he's on the gas man or the one in the shop. You know, when they take over the shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, they break in. But mate, yeah, he's gone too soon. He's fucking amazing.
He was brilliant, wasn't he? Yeah. And Drop Dead Fred as well.
Mate.
What a movie.
But that, when you show, I know I've said before, but when you show that the kids, the first thing is fucking swearing, mega bitch and all this stuff. You're like,
yeah,
cobwebs. Yeah. But
no, honestly,
Libby's
mate,
done it.
Did we speak about this on the podcast last time?
We have done.
The scene where he fucking walks back into the house on his hands because he's got dog shit on his
lovely,
feet.
Lovely, lovely dog poo.
Oh, all up man.
Here, all up there. Lovely, lovely dog poo. And then slips. You know, if you watch it to the last second, he literally, with those red shit kicker boots that he's got, he fucking flies.
I might watch that later, you know. It's a fucking good movie, mate, that is.
It's one of my literally, you know when you have had a better influence on your kids, when you hear a scream from upstairs that goes from a bollocking scream to like uncontrollable laughter. And so you dart upstairs to think, do I need to save him or do I need to join in and tag team? So I ran up and Libby's lying on her back and Stacey's just got out the shower. And Stace has stood and she's basically in her underwear drawer. So she's leaning towards the wall and Libby's gone on the back, scooted back and gone, cobwebs. And Stace had looked down, just seen a kid lying there. She must have been about five. And my heart just swelled. I was like, fuck me, I've made it.
Brilliant.
That's the best. Yeah. Wedding stories for days.
Yeah. Fucking hell, Drop Dead Fred. What a good movie.
It was good, man. But yeah, he's... The problem was, I think there was that many quotable elements from that sort of stuff when we were at school. It kind of, it's strange now when you see stuff that even, I'm not saying I'm risque, but when you see certain things, how they're made, like some people are losing their shit over certain bits and you're like, that's understandable. Yeah, that's a bit fucking close.
Mm.
But then other bits, people are still losing that. It's like someone's taking notice and then they're sort of taking the piss a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, Matt Lucas on The Great British Bake Off with Noel Fielding. It was German Bread Week or German something week. And they did a fake German retro funk pop band. And they were talking with like a faux German accent. And they got millions of complaints. And you're just like, just calm down a bit.
They're
like,
comedians.
Yeah.
But that's what they do.
Yeah, they're acting. But you're like, to me, you've got a certain amount of like... credits.
Yeah.
If you want to bitch and moan, you've got a good couple of credits.
Yeah.
And we'll listen to you for those
it's
good
the
couple
crying
of credits.
Wolf thing, isn't
but
it?
Then
you
when
know
you
what I mean?
Start going, oh, it really offended me, like, well, fucking turn it off.
Yeah.
Get a grip.
Have you watched the new Dave Chappelle?
I've not watched it, but I will
check it out. It's brilliant. It's awesome, isn't it, Jamie?
I've been watching too much documentaries of people getting caught robbing and point shaving. There's a documentary called Bad Sport.
Right.
And it's superb. And it's sort of, it's like if I was Quantum Leap, if I was in Quantum Leap and my life would have projected me to do the messed up shit of robbing stuff or doing whatever that I probably should have done back in the day before I met Stace, it showed me where I went wrong. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So like there's a basketball guy that was shaving points. Then the second one was my favorite. It was like so good that this country guy got into racing cars, found out how expensive it was. So to supplement his rally habit, which he was really good at, he imported weed.
Brilliant.
For like 130 pounds of weed.
Right.
And he had the best crew.
Yeah.
He was like a ragtag crew, but then they started racing and they started getting up these ranks and that the whole pit crew had a Rolex. Even though they were careful, they should have bailed. Yeah, it's knowing when to cut it off. So
it's like Kid Rock though, isn't it? Kid Rock bought all his band's instruments and stuff from selling crack.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
You got to, you know, hustle sometimes,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, but that's part of the story, isn't it? That's what I quite like. But like when I saw a thing the other day in the paper, and the thing that bothers me is more the wasted resource, time, effort, and energy that not only has someone moaned, but someone has reported this. Now I'm reading it and it's wasting my time and energy that a policeman... And I know the police hadn't had the best rap over the past few weeks, which is absolutely warranted and it's kind of a fucker, but one of them things. The policeman in question had not put enough money in a charity box for taking a packet of Jaffa Cakes. So they suspected him of fucking about. So they emptied the change before he got there.
Oh, what?
And they were meant to be 50 pence and he only put 10 pence in, right? But now this is national fucking news. Do you know what I mean? Like
wasting everyone's time.
You
now
need a bollocking
for 40p.
Yeah,
wasting everyone's time now.
You need a bollocking, or you need a bro. Play the game. What the fuck are you doing? Like, I can remember making out of fudge. This was at Thornton's, a perfect pair of boobs and a cock and balls.
Right,
because I was at the end of the belt. Right, and it was plain fudge. So there I was, and I was just sculpting this stuff. I was at college. I was at art college. So I was like sculpting, and they were amazing. I've got to be honest, they were fucking great. Everyone who saw them commented how good they were. And like a twat, at the end of my shift, I left them there.
Oh, you could have took them home to your gran.
I could have taken them home. Yeah, she'd have loved them.
She'd have loved them.
Yeah, it would have given her a lift by at least inches. So I left them there.
A blood pressure lift.
Yeah, probably. Fucking hell. Both ways. But the problem was, I was proud of them, so I left them there. Which older me would have given me a nudge and be like, dude, cover your back.
Not everyone's going to be impressed. Yeah.
Exactly. So then I got called into the office, and it didn't hit the papers, but it was enough to say.
It would these days, though.
Yeah, stop fucking about Steve. Well, it probably would have offended someone with a great pair of tits and a massive cock and ball. But I don't know. Like with Chappelle, you sometimes have to call it how you see it.
Yeah, mate, honestly, his new one is so. If anybody listens to it and at the end of it questions that he would like directly be offensive to someone in order to upset them, they just don't understand the nuance of his comedy. It's so fucking cleverly written, and the way that he just ties it together at the end.
Yeah, but I think
brilliant.
That's the same with
it's
any
brilliant.
Comedy.
It's art. It's amazing.
Ricky Gervais once said, anything's funny.
Yeah.
You can choose not to listen or not to find it funny. Like, not everything that everyone watches at the same time finds it as funny. And sometimes a joke can be missed or go over your head. Or like you say, you're building up to a bigger picture.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times the punchline is that so subtle that you have to nod.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But Matt, you can see people sitting there at the show though. And you're like, disapproving all the way through. It's odd because it's like, I kind of feel
Dave
uncomfortable
Chappelle.
For them. But yeah. I'm like, you bought tickets to come and see this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, you came and bought tickets to just sit there and disapprove of something. And all the way through, you can't see the nuance of this comedy and what he's trying to communicate.
Exactly.
It is brilliant. It's definitely worth a watch.
But as a comedian, the amount of changes that have come about, even in the past 5-10 years, that amount of content is fucking gold. Because, we are moving away from, like, casual racism and fucking slurs and all these different bits and bobs, but we are leading towards something else, which again has still got its questions. Like, I was looking at the there was the transgender MMA fighter, and the thing is to make that change is fascinating. And it's not the wrong thing, not the right thing. It's whatever people want to do. I think the nice thing about nowadays is that people have that choice. They can stand out and be who they want, which is fucking gold. But when it comes down to MMA or any sport, it's difficult because, unfortunately, they are the wayfinders. They are the pathfinders in their world because they want to be an MMA fighter, which is fucking absolutely fine. But you are a trans fighter from man to woman or male to female, however you want to put it, but there needs to be enough of those people that want to do that to make a league and unfortunately
it's not, I know,
there's not enough at the minute, which I'm not saying that you can't do it,
but like I said this the other day to the guys in the gym when we were talking about it. We're not ever seeing people go the opposite direction.
No,
like there are no women that are deciding to become men and then decide they want to get into MMA. It's like, it's always the other way around. And it's just, I don't know. I think there's more to the psychology of that, of that individual. If they're deciding to first make that transition and then start competing against other women,
born women,
I find
that
dangerous.
Yeah, that's tricky when you'll see that someone has now decided to go from a jack dude to being a lady, and then he's got all the top, or they have got the top 5 records of weightlifting. You're like, it's not the same.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that he can't do it, but you need to have enough people in your category. It's like, why have we not got certain weight classes in the UFC? Because there's not enough fighters at that weight.
Yeah,
but it's only the same, in my opinion, that everyone's accepted. Everyone can do whatever they want. But
it's just got to be fair and safe.
Yeah, but you can't have a dude going in because an hour ago, he was a bloke and now he's a lady. So like there's certain elements.
Yeah, I don't know the science of the transition, but even the hormone treatment and stuff, there's still going to be residual benefits of that masculine strength that was natural to them when they were born.
Well, look at Kevin Lee got popped the other day for, was it Adderall?
Yeah, he's having a bad time by the look of it, isn't he?
But that's his mental health and that's his life that he's having to medicate, which genuinely he probably said himself, yeah, he should have mentioned it or whatever, but it's a bit like back in the day with weed and stuff when they're like, oh, you had a joint. It's like, it's not going to make me Superman, dude.
Yeah.
It's not spinach. I'm not fucking Popeye. I'm just having a J. So the amount of medication and things that people have to take for these transitions is there's a lot. There's a lot of it. Like you said, I don't know enough about it, but the problem is I don't think they're getting a fair shake, but I don't know if it's an individual, like you say, or if it's someone that's slightly insecure that wants to feel like they've achieved, because it's like, if I associate myself as a child and go to sports day, I'm coming home with a fucking rosette.
But you'd hope so. There are some quick, fast.
There are some quick,
and you look at Vitor Belfort. I mean, he's been through puberty, what, 4 or 5 times now?
This month.
Like, that shit's dangerous, especially putting him in there against Holyfield.
It's terrifying.
The overall thing is everybody's welcome, but it's got to be on an even playing field.
And
the point when we start to put people's health and safety above political correctness is when this starts to become a serious issue.
And I never want to really offend anyone, because a lot of the times it's not necessarily ignorance, but it's just trying to navigate a new world. So you know when someone's like, I want to be known as they or this or that, and I'm like, okay, you're gonna have to remind me. It's only like meeting someone for the first time and we're going, I've forgotten your name.
Yeah,
I'm fucking terrible for it. That's why I call everyone dude or bro. I call my own kids bro.
Yeah,
but it's not out of not wanting to make them feel at home or comfortable, but it's more, I think there's a way of doing everything, but it's just basically we're having to restart a certain area and fill it, because there will be enough people at some point. Because, I mean, one of the most heartbreaking things is where you see someone that, like, they've lived their entire life as a lie because they weren't accepted for whatever reason back in the day. And then they've decided, like Caitlyn Jenner. So I watched the documentary because there was another Netflix again. They're smashing it. We're just with these. Basically, when I'm working, it's a good hour of something that I can just take in. And the guy was a stud. Like, growing up, he was fucking sick on a motorbike. He was jet skiing. He fucking had everything on lock. Everything was fucking next level. But he liked dressing up. But you look at how long he waited, and that you're not being yourself at all. And that's heartbreaking for me to think that someone's not being able to be themselves because of what you're going to think. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's a way of making sure that everyone can be accepted.
Yeah.
It's just when you do that, you then have to think about it a bit harder. And like you say, the offending someone rather than the safety element is, it outweighs it.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, what do you think about Tyson and Jake Paul, Logan Paul?
I don't like it. I don't like it. There's no, like, if Tyson wants to keep fighting, I don't have a problem with it as long as he's passing his medical requirements.
Excuse me.
I don't mind that. I don't really mind it. I mean, the question is when someone like Evander Holyfield gets cleared to fight, because he didn't look like he could keep his hands up.
No.
That was a problem. But Tyson looks fucking scary still. Like, I don't mind him still competing as long as he's competing within a demographic that suits him.
Exactly.
Right? I don't like the fact that he's even opening the door to Logan Paul.
No.
Because there's just nothing to be gained from it.
Well, did you see Logan Paul wrestling? Who was he wrestling? Logan Paul was he wrestling Costa?
Yeah. Well, see, this is
and
why...
And he's popping straight up like...
Yeah, yeah.
There's something in that he's...
No, he's a good wrestler. He's a good athlete. Yeah. They both are. But
there's something
this
in
is
him.
Why I think Costa's being a prick in the UFC right now. I reckon he's...
I
reckon he's trying to get released. I reckon he's got a guaranteed couple of mil if he fights Logan Paul. And we've got Nate in the same situation. We might have a card coming up soon with Logan Paul against Paulo Costa and Jake Paul against Nate Diaz.
Which I've got no problem with that. But
I just don't want to see Evander Holyfield on the undercard.
No, or like Stallone. Sly Stallone versus Ronda Rousey. That's fucking stupid, boys. But I mean, it's like when you look back at... Who did Tyson last fight properly? Was it Danny Williams? No.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Danny Williams. He got sat down on that rope, then on the rope.
But was that like the fourth round, third round? Yeah. Mr. T in the background? Mm-hmm. Respect to you.
Yeah.
But it's just one of them where you're like, as much as I want it, like with Chuck against Tito the third time, I wanted the same glitz of being taken back 10 years to discovering this sport that I love so much and it all being the same, but it just wasn't.
Yeah.
And the problem is, you get to a point where it's either age or time or time, whatever it is. Like Chuck knows.
What about Fedor though? Did you see Fedor at fucking Bellator?
He looked good, but look who he's against.
Yeah.
And I've got nothing against him.
I think Tim Johnson's a tough individual though. It could have been a really rough night for Fedor. I was just surprised how quick he looked.
Yes.
He had a nice tan. You know, he looked relatively in shape. He's always got that little wing of poo on the front.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fucking so quick. I was chatting on Twitter afterwards about, you know, who he'd fight next. I'd love to see him against JDS.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I mean, Overeem's injured at the moment and he's also signed to Glory, but that'd be a fucking great fight as well.
If we could just get like the old UFC branding.
Yeah.
And have it as like a side project.
Yeah.
That basically was like,
I think we need to start holding these fights in the Coliseum.
Yes.
Like, any fighters over 40.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Any fighters that have had over 30 pro fights and they're over 40.
I reckon Randy would come back for that. I reckon Randy would have a go.
Of course he would.
He'd have a go against Fedor. Just to have a go.
Of course he would. So who would you have? You'd have Randy.
JDS, Randy.
JDS. Fedor. Overeem. Orlovsky.
What about Kane? Is Kane's knees recovered yet?
I don't know. I don't know if he's in one piece, is he?
No.
Vadum.
Yeah. Matt Mitrione, look.
Throw Dan Henderson in there, because fuck it, why not?
Why wouldn't you?
Right? He'd be a heavyweight if he still had his front teeth.
Stephen Bonner and
Forrest Griffin.
Forrest.
Yeah.
Just for the fuck.
Stephen Griffin, same person. We could just tie them together.
Yeah, like that He-Man figure.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Click clunk.
Be an egg and spoon race, couldn't it? I love them.
We could do all those. We could do it. No fighting.
Egg and spoon MMA.
Just egg and spoons.
Oh, I like that.
Fedor's in the lead.
Yeah.
With his little wooden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sack race MMA.
Mate.
Everyone has to be tied into a sack up to their waist.
Three-legged race.
I think we're onto something here.
But you know, if you had
fairground fights.
Yeah, that's what they are.
Mm,
that's the problem.
Yeah. And you have to throw coconuts at someone.
Fedor's got them on the top of his head.
Hooker Duck. Do you remember Hooker Duck?
I did remember Hooker Duck.
We were talking about it at the gym the other day. Because there's a fair in Loughborough, apparently.
Right.
And like, Josh was taking the piss out of Tom. Because like, Tom's fucking buzzing about it. It's like, it's
what,
not the best thing ever. Yeah, the fair.
How old is he? Isn't he like an adult?
Is he 20? 18. He's what? 18, is he? Yeah.
I fucking hate the fair.
A worldly 18, yeah.
I fucking hate it.
Fucking toffee apples and Hooker Duck and 19. There we go.
You know, when I'm at a fair, all it is, phone, keys, wallet.
Yeah.
Phone, keys, wallet, kids.
Always.
Phone, keys, wallet, kids.
Always. Who's going to try and stab me first?
Honestly, we went to that fucking Winter Wonderland at Hyde Park.
Right.
The worst thing ever.
Really? In Hyde Park?
Awful. Because there was, I think, 90,000 people. And my dad is from the Midlands. So we've got two kids, of which one of them is in the pushchair. And because my dad's there, he's going to drive the pushchair because he's my dad and he's driving. So he does the thing that he used to do with my brothers when it was 1992. And he would push them as hard as he could and catch up with them. Where are you going away? He'd push them again. Now, bear in mind, there's a £400 camera under there. There's a priceless toddler in there and all the other shit. And I'm like, Dad. And he's like, what's up? And I'm like, stop pushing it. And he's like, why? They berate. I'm like, no, they won't.
Push it, just disappears.
They'll
into
be
the
on
crowd.
The fucking internet. Like, you can buy a camera and get a free baby. What are you doing? And because he wasn't aware of just the shit in London, that I'm then thinking, wallet, phone, keys, kids, dad's wallet, phone, dad's keys, dad's wife, my stepmom, Stace, wallet, phone.
Anyone with a knife, anyone driving a van with a bad intention.
Mate,
it's fucking London.
Fucking terrifying.
I used to walk around with headphones on in London, not anymore.
Never.
I feel like I have to be like fucking switched on.
Honestly.
Like I have to have a scouting crew with me.
Yeah, all the time. My mate, he went to uni there and he got mugged. Two or three times, but never for a lot. They'd be like, negotiate. They go, give me your money. He's like, I've not got a lot. And they're like, well, how much have you got? He's like, what? He's like, you got a watch? He's like, I don't want that. What else you got? And he's like, well, got some Chew-It.
Yeah.
He's like, Yeah, give me them. He's like, all right. And you fucking learn. And he's like, yeah, all right.
Did you see that? The guy in the gas station the other day, I think Derek Lewis or someone.
What, take the gun off him?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Brilliant.
Just amazing.
Fucking. And then there was another one that came. I think, who was it? I was watching this. Shares this stuff all the time.
Derek Lewis.
I think it might have been Arlovsky. And it was like a guy walks into a shop with like a carrier bag, like pretending like he's got a gun. And as he's walking up, this is the camera from like behind the desk, and you can see the dude sitting on the stool. Literally looks like a Guitar Center tech. Nice. You know what I mean? Like ponytail, yeah. Glasses, bit of a goatee. You know, be tuning up a guitar if you know. Anyway, he's sitting there, all of a sudden he sees this guy coming in, and he just fucking casually stands up, draws his gun, and straight away the guy coming in with the fucking pretend gun in the
cucumber.
Bag is like, fuck it. And then he just keeps him there.
Leave it.
Lay down on the floor, wait mate. For the police.
Yeah, some people have got balls
that
of steel.
Fucking to grab the...
Mate, yeah. Just to grab the muzzle as well and be like, no.
Yeah.
And then the other guy would be like, see ya.
Yeah. There were three of them. No, there were three.
Was there three.
The other one didn't even open the door, didn't even get near the door. They just both ran off.
That's when you do the... Oh, them two. No. We might be wearing the same hoodie, but we didn't think this through.
Yeah.
Mate, it's gold.
Just a coincidence that we've got the same mask on.
Oh, man. Yeah, you need that sometimes. You know that, like... Don't do this.
Mm.
Yeah, when we got caught shoplifting, we got caught and one of the lads had bounced. He'd nipped off for something. And it was literally, I stole Pogs, but they weren't even real Pogs. They were Power Ranger Pogs. But we'd gone to Virgin because we needed a carrier bag. So my mate had bought Ace Ventura on video. So 93, it would have been.
Fucking Virgin Megastore carrier bags were cool, weren't
they? Yeah, and they were good. Mm. You couldn't see through them. And they
strong
were
handles.
Strong handles. There was that already.
Carrier
center.
Bags that you keep other carrier bags in.
Exactly. Yeah, lined with tinfoil. You don't have to do that, but it worked.
Yeah, no, I remember that. People used to come into shoe with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when we went into Woolworths, my friend Brooke went first and grabbed a couple of packs. Straight into the bag.
That's why the motherfuckers went out of business.
It is completely why
you
went
pog
out. Because the pog robin. So I had a jumper. I had a lucky jumper. That I
pog robin toffee smasher.
Yeah. And now, in the blue corner, the pog robin toffee smashing, cod shit talking, shit hound. So yeah, so I would put them up my jumper.
Uh-huh.
And then when I'm holding the bag, they would slip into the bag. Because it's smooth, slick. Just like a silk, soft and cuddly. So,
And you've got sleeves like a clown, so...
Yes. Mate, I could get a can of pop-up there. I got fucking Unite, I had teddies, everything. I can remember once, I bought my stepmom a teddy bear for like Mother's Day or whatever. She said, I've got that one. So I went, give me a minute. And I went and switched it.
Took it back?
Yeah. No. I said to them, I bought this for my stepmom. Can I bring it back, please? And they're like, yeah, of course you can.
Brilliant.
That's how we got a lot of money in the first place. We would take something off the shelf... We would go up and act all confused and like really sad. You'd rip the corner a bit and go, my auntie bought me this. What can I do? Can I have store credit or what do I need to do? It's just broken. And they're like, let me speak to our manager.
Mm.
I'm like, please, anything you can do. My mum's just fuming. She thinks I did this ages ago. I'm really in trouble. And they're like, okay, leave it with us. And then they'd sort it out.
Brilliant.
Mate, it's gold.
Exploiting their kindness.
Yeah. The thing is, with shop workers, what I find is, and this is something I'm very proud of, but it's not something I'm endorsing, but with babies, they are the best. For distraction, they are fucking gold because you can put them on your shoulders and anything they can hold, you can get out the shop before they can talk. So if they could hold a telly, then I would be fucking laughing because like the kid walking out with a 50-inch telly under their arm. But when you know it's too late, is when you're walking out and they've got whatever in their hand. They're like, well, I don't have to buy them that stupid toy now. They've fucking got it, haven't they? Off we go. And out we walk out the shop and they go, Dad, we didn't pay for this. Like, shut the fuck up. I mean, there's like 16, but...
Then you bang their head on the door frame.
What did they say? Fuck
off. Keep hold of their legs.
Yeah, didn't say nothing, just flailing. But we had a baby monitor and it was about 180 quid. And we didn't buy it because it was 180 quid. But someone, because it was our first kid... They were like, I don't know, guilty uncles. They bought it for us, which was really nice of them. So off we went, got this thing. Yeah, they just took it. So I basically it broke. And I know that they sold them at Argos.
Right.
So I knew that if I got a new one and then I took the old one and cleaned it up and put it back in the box and then took it back to them, I could be like, we've had that for 3 days. It's already broke.
Mm.
So what I did, because Libby was so young and beautiful and she had the hair... of a 50s receptionist. Like she was this big, but fucking, you know, Lynn off of Alan Partridge,
yeah.
where she's ridiculous, a fucking ridiculous amount of hair. Someone tried to buy it off us in Spain. Anyway, another story. So there we were in Argos, and I went from talking to this lady, wasn't really convinced, to then putting the baby carrier on the counter facing them, and they were cooing like a motherfucker. I could have had the till. I didn't that time. So I got a brand new baby monitor, but it's all thanks to the kid.
Yeah.
But it's distraction. I think that's all it is. I think that's how you get away with stuff. Do you know what I mean?
So watch out for people with kids then, basically.
Well, yeah. Whenever
might be thieving.
Yeah, if kids come in to buy anything off me, I'm like, easy. I'm not falling for, oh, look at it. Yeah. Puppies. No, it's dogs for me. If you bought a dog, then you can have whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, just any. Anything. Take it. Take it. We'll get more
that's
puppies.
That's why you've got three.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Someone, one of my friends was on Facebook the other day, and they were trying to say, they're convincing their partner that they want a dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, you can't ask. You've just got to ask for forgiveness.
Yeah. Because we go around in circles. Like, because the thing is, like she'll always send me photos of dogs, and I'm like, yeah, this one. And then they'll start popping up in my fucking feeds. And I'm like, oh, I'll send her that one back. And then we just kind of, and then we end up sitting down like once every sort of 2 weeks and having a sensible conversation. We're like, not just yet. No, not just yet. There's too much going on. And we're like, yeah, no, not a sensible thing. But just look at this one. And yeah. Like, fuck.
And you know, if I walked in and went, there you go.
Yeah.
You would have no choice.
No choice.
I know inadvertently I'm fucking you in one way, but at the same time, I'm giving you a best friend. Do you know what I mean?
I know. I love dogs. I love dogs.
Stace just
I'll
knows.
I'll move out to the countryside sometime and buy a farm and just adopt them all.
That would be my dream. My dream would be to have, you know, at the end of 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah.
They don't all have to be Dalmatians. Mm. They can be whatever. But I just want a whole crew.
Mm.
Like if they were, they could be elderly, anything. I can't walk past a dog. Like, Stace hates
Rude
it.
Rude Dog and the Dweebs.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was a good cartoon.
It was a good cartoon. Mm. We went to Matlock, and she hates walking there or going around because she knows she'll literally see a path and they'll be like, three sausage dogs, a pug and a Frenchie. I've seen it miles away. And she'll go the opposite way around the pond. I'm like, bro, you're missing the dogs. And she's like, you can't stop for everyone. I'm like, I can. And I fucking will.
They stop for me.
Yeah, they
do.
It'd
be rude. It'd be rude not to.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
They're the happiest thing.
They are.
They are. I think they are the greatest thing that has ever, ever been made.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Without a doubt.
Should we talk about some fights this weekend?
We've got some scraps, haven't we?
We've got two weekends, haven't we? We've got Ride Along this weekend. I'm not sure whether we're doing one the weekend after. We might do. It's a bit later.
We'll be tired.
But it's a good time this week, so we're gonna get plugged back in. Six fights on the main card.
Who have we got? What are we starting? At the bottom or the top?
We'll start at the bottom of the card. We'll start at the bottom of the main card. Hang on, what's the first one? I want to say it's Chimaev against the Leech. Is that the first one? Yeah.
See, anything Maiev at the end is just terrifying, isn't it?
It means you're going to get fucking mauled against the fence, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, look at Bellator last week.
Oh, no, it's Ankalaev or Ustamir.
Oh, that's it. That's it. There we go. Ankalaev against Ustamir.
Ayev is still as bad.
Yeah, exactly. Ayev, Chimaev, yeah. Ankalaev.
Yeah.
You're going to get beaten up.
If there are Vs, As and Ks in the name, you've probably fucked up.
Same with Mustafayev.
Yep.
I spoke to the Submission Radio guys last night, and I always love speaking to them. But we talked about the Makhachev Hooker fight, and I know those guys want me to go, you know what? I think Dan Hooker's going to do it. And I couldn't do it all the way through the. But they keep going, yeah, but you know that Dan Hooker's, you know, he's this and that. People underestimate. I'm like, yeah, they're underestimating him, but fucking hell, Islam Makhachev.
Yeah, and people underestimated him initially. There's no winning,
right?
Do you know what I mean?
Like I like Ustamir, and I think he's got really good striking skills, but I think he's got problems. It because Ankalaev's not going to let him get any close to him. It's just going to be that short range power.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, let me quick run down the card and you can talk about what you want. So we've got Ankalaev, Ustamir. We've got Leech against Chimaev. Volkov against Marcin Tybura, the heavyweights.
Yeah.
Then Makhachev against Hooker. And then the two fights, the main and co-main, Jan against Sanhagen and Błachowicz Teixeira. Interest wise, it's like upside down, isn't it? Like we've been looking at the stats on the YouTube, and it's like, Makhachev is running the show.
Yeah.
Most people want to watch that fight, but then Chimaev second, then Peter Yan, and then the main event.
But look at the size of where they come from. Are they both Russian?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, but yeah, Russian.
How is that Swedish?
Swedish.
Yeah, but he's not. Yeah, he lives in Sweden, but he's born in Chechnya.
Yeah. So
they're all like all Russian.
That's a fucking big gang.
Soviet bloc.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
If a few of you've got the internet, that's fucking massive. But it's just terrifying. I'll never forget when Paul Daly fought a Russian. And it was one of the times that I wasn't like, he's going to spark him. Because they're just made of something else.
Yeah, for sure.
They're not...
Like, if you think back to, like, old UFC days, like Oleg Taktarov.
Oleg Taktarov.
So, fucking hell.
Where are you off to? Die Hard 4. Fuck you. All right, mate. He was solid.
He was.
But it was only scar tissue that fucked him.
He still looked scary when he was face down against on the canvas. Was it Gary Goodridge put him out?
Yes. Did Tank fight him as well?
No, it was Tank. Tank shut him off.
Yeah.
No, hang on a minute. No. Let me pull it up. I think Gary Goodridge knocked him out cold, and I think he went hard rounds with Tank and beat him by exhaustion.
Yes.
Because Tank couldn't move, could he?
That was it. I'm sure he fought Tank.
Taktarov. See, this is bullshit, right? If you type his name into Google, it says Oleg Taktarov, Russian actor underneath it. That does not override his UFC career.
Do you know how much
career.
He paid to get that chain?
You reckon? Yeah.
I'm actor now.
He looks fucking younger now than he did when he was in UFC.
Yeah. They filled in the cracks with like...
He's done more...
Some PVA glue.
Didn't he, right? Same stuff that they used on Gordon Ramsay's fucking chin.
Jesus.
Yeah, he's done more movies now than he's had fights. But look at this fucking record, though.
That's like Tate Fletcher.
Isn't it?
Do you always see Tate Fletcher pop up? We always look out for him.
Yeah,
he's in everything Jumanji,
now.
Expendable, you name
anytime
it.
Anytime you need a massive dude with a beard,
yeah,
he's the guy. Pirate.
Yeah,
fucking.
But I think he's now got...
I watched another movie the other day he was in. Is he in fucking, is it Black Widow?
Yeah. It made every single one, but it's like he's now got a bit more of a range where he doesn't die immediately, which is kind of cool. Because he's the stereotypical like US SWAT dude, isn't he? Big fucking tonk dude with a bald head.
Yeah. And he's a massive hippie, actually.
Yeah. I love it. I love picking him out every time.
Yeah, so it was Gary Goodridge knocked him out cold in Pride.
Yes.
Like Pride won that one.
It was Tank with the UFC, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find it. Yeah. Submission, rear naked choke, but it was 17 minutes 47.
In the first round.
And he was fucked. They're both, I think they had to come in and give them IVs in the cage. They were both like,
we've had enough.
They had enough.
What was that, UFC 3 or was it 6?
UFC 6 it was.
Jesus.
Because he beat Benito.
Did Benito have the unitard on? Is that dude?
I think he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then he fought that Anthony Macias. He was the Thai boxer that thought he was going to beat the fuck out of
and
everybody.
He gets his legs whooped.
Yeah. He got a win over Shawnee Carter, though.
Was that really 6?
UFC 6, yeah.
I'll take that.
He was in 5, 6, and 7.
That's a win for today, isn't it?
And then he went over to Pancrase, and he fought in Valetudo. Fought in Pride 1 and never again.
No. But his face got mangled. He had so much scar tissue, and I don't know if it was pre... I think it was Street
Taktarov
fighting.
Did.
Yeah. It was pre-street fighting. I think it was like just growing up tough.
Is he really 54 as well?
He's only 14 years old.
Look how Hollywood he looks there.
Mate, he's the man. He's
You'd
the
never
man.
Know he was in the UFC with a haircut like that.
No, it's like...
That's what Mystery's passport photo looks like.
Yeah. He's got that Superman disguise, hasn't he? What about with these glasses? Has he got the same Photoshop hairdo as Mystery? This is what I look like with hair.
He looks like Mystery's passport photo.
Can
fucking brilliant.
Flash that up without it being too illegal. Because it won't be his driving license picture, will he?
Oh, brilliant.
Dear me.
Nikolaevich. That's his middle name.
So when it came to Submission Radio, who is your big pick? Who were you leaning towards or looking forward to most?
Fuck, I mean, it's the whole card's got a good fight. So even down, even like lower down on the card, like Makwan against Lerone Murphy is going to be fucking brilliant.
Oh, nice.
Like, I think Chimaev's going to look as good as everyone expects him to, unless COVID took a real toll on him, which is my only concern. I think.
Well, didn't he retire because of COVID?
Well, he was hinting at it and like spitting blood into a sink and stuff. I mean, I'm sure he's fine, but you just don't know if there's like a residual effect from it because he looked like he suffered with it pretty bad.
And that's got to be about a year ago now, isn't it?
Wasn't
that
but
Fight
it was...
Island when someone was breaking into hotels and fucking around and when he
yeah,
got
that
COVID?
Was, that was a Zaytar,
but it was
wasn't
a
it?
Similar time when he was it saying, was. I was meant to be there, but I can't go.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Because
Yeah, you're right. It must have been around the same time this last year. Has it been like...
Wow.
I think it's been 12, 13 months since he fought. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to look as good as we expect him to.
And who's
I
he
really
against?
Do. He's against the Leech, who just takes a fucking shot and stands and bangs.
Okay.
Like he's just come off that win over, I can see his name in my head, Santiago Ponzinibbio.
Oh, okay.
I'm excited for that one. I think Dan Hooker's really going to have a rough night against yes. Makhachev. If Makhachev shows up and he's the fighter they expect him to, I think Corey Sandhagen, Peter Yan's probably the most exciting competitive. But I think main event is also quite an evenly matched one. I just think Yan's... my only concern for Yan is if he cracks him and just runs to the ground with Glover, because you know what he's like. He's like fucking
Glover don't give
zombie
a fuck.
Land, isn't he? He's just... Yeah. just
the trouble is, I got caught... not giving Glover a chance once, and I only did it once, and I fucking regretted it from the minute I said it, because it's like going against Jose. Even though I know he's going to lose,
yeah.
I can't go against him. And with someone like Glover, mate, he's just... the problem is, it's not like Glover against John Jones.
Mm. He was outmatched in so many ways there.
And youth, speed,
yeah.
strength, stamina, the fucking... There's a puncher's chance. We know there's a puncher's chance. There's always that lucky swing. But with someone like Yan has lost before.
Mm.
And he's lost in normal ways. And when I say that, I don't mean like, you know when Faber got knocked out by
Brown?
He's
a much more normal
Brown.
Fighter. He's a much more normal fighter than John Jones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know like when Faber was on that 13-fight win streak with his title and he tried to do a spinning back elbow and...
Yeah,
Mike Thomas
Mike Brown
clipped him. That was freak.
Yeah.
I know he outfought him the next time, but the first time it was a real freak, like fucking hell. Same with Anderson against, what's his name? Weidman.
Yeah.
It was, there's always a bit more
like,
of a...
Hang on a minute. No. Just rewind. Let's go again. You know what
Anderson
I mean? It's like that kind of thing. Yeah. Like that's the kind of situation that you kind of find yourself in. You're like, no, that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Rewind the... Let's start the fight again.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes. It's because that wasn't the script.
Yeah.
But when you get Glover against Yan, that's more like the third fight or the co-main or the one before the co-main on a London card.
Yeah.
No disrespect to either of them, because Yan has punched his ticket and he's done fucking amazing, smashed up... Well, he's just fucking won the title from being vacant. He's then had a word with Izzy. He's looked good doing it. Like, to be fair, everyone thought he was going to get whooped by Izzy.
Yeah, a lot of people counted him out against Reyes as well.
So
even Rockhold, when he was fighting Rockhold, a lot of people expected Rockhold to be problems.
We were there.
Yeah.
Gold.
Yeah.
So I can't take anything away from him, but he's still that same... He's that level, which it gives me way more to think, I'm fucking ready for
this.
There's
ways in for Glover here. If it's John Jones, I'm just like, it's going to be the same as last time. But it's more competitive. So here's a question for you then, based on that. Do you think that Rose Weili plays out the same second time around? Or do you think it's a different fight? Because she had the same thing with Joanna, didn't she? She stopped her, rematched her, and beat her comprehensively.
Yeah, I would say if I was putting money on anything, it would be on Rose.
Mm.
Because again... Exactly the same as those examples we've just given. When Rose got put on her head in the Kimura trap, that wasn't something they'd trained to the point where it's like, I'm going to spike her through the fucking mat or whatever. Yeah, they've trained it, but at the same time, it was a freak.
You can't be sure that you're going to knock them out with it.
No, the last 10 fight cards, we've not seen that happen.
Yeah.
So it's not a common thing, like when leg kicks was a new thing or taking out someone's ankle. So Rose has been consistently incredible ever since she lost to the Ultimate Fighter finale.
Yeah.
When she lost that,
she just shaved
her head, she was like, do you know what?
She's just got one split decision to Kowalkiewicz, hasn't she? Aside from the Andrade knockout. Yeah, so she lost to Esparza by rear naked choke.
She wasn't ready for that.
No,
she didn't want that. And the problem is, we know that she's got a lot of mental health issues. She's got a support dog, which is all... That's just a normal person.
But honestly, like every time she has a moment like that, it's almost like she learns a bit more about herself and she gets better every time.
So much more. It's like the type of people they are is when she won the title and was at the airport within half an hour and back at home
tending
to vegetable patch. And you're like, and genuinely, I've met Pat and I've sat with Pat for a day and he was the nicest guy. And he literally fit in here like a fucking jigsaw puzzle piece. He's a big lad, but honestly, he was a fucking...
He'd fill a big space in this room, wouldn't he?
He was a golden dude. But if I know that he's got Rose's back, and essentially it's never come across to me as a pressure or or like a, you've got to when you got to do this. He's basically just been like, I'm here when you need me. Mm-hmm. And I think she's taken quite a bit from that, because the way she knocked her out before was fucking outstanding.
Yeah, it was.
And I think someone like Rose, she's only getting better. Mm. But I think it'll be close.
I think it'd be a more competitive fight the second time around. There's a lot of good fights on that card as well. So then you've got, well, the main card is Frankie Edgar against Marlon Vera, Shane Burgos against Billy Quarantillo, Gaethje, oh, fuck off, Adobe. Gaethje...
Or sponsor us,
but at least stop trying to feed me updates. Gaethje against Chandler, Rose against Whaley, and then Usman Covington. And that's got some good fights down the card as well. Aya Quinta, Bobby Green's on that one.
Nice.
You've got, what's his name, Alex Pereira making his UFC debut, coming over from Glory. Okay. The guy that knocked out Izzy in Glory. Yeah. Ian Garry's on that, Cage Warriors champ. So 2 weeks of good fights. Mate. Really good.
I love it. Because did you see all the commotion? I know, obviously, before Vettori and Costa, which is a bit fucked up.
Mm.
But that must have been the fight week from hell. Especially when you've got someone like Costa that is basically mugging everything off like it was not his fault.
Yeah.
You know, when he's like,
that was the worst thing about
it's a fight.
Yeah. He was like, hey, it makes it more interesting. Like, yeah.
Like, yeah, but you've not forgotten your homework, and you're trying to convince a substitute teacher, you dickhead. This is fucking, this is professional.
Yeah.
But like you say, it could be working his way towards getting released. But with someone like Dana, you don't fuck around someone like Dana, because he'll keep you for longer and just drag you out.
Yeah.
Because he would. That's just the smart way of doing it.
That's why GSP weren't able to box
exactly
De La Hoya.
But the two fights before that, the two main events, I know they were ladies' main events, and I was really excited because they'd put a lot of time and money behind them, and they just sort of, they fell a little bit flat. But there was so much that came out of the corner work of, what's her name? You know, when her coach is getting really fucking...
Oh, Aspen Ladd.
Aspen Ladd.
Yeah.
And I was like, I couldn't see. I know it was
yeah,
vocal.
I didn't hear that. I still need to listen to that. I didn't listen to it.
No, it was one of them where you could tell that he was invested in her.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that he was losing a win bonus. Mm. It was that he knew she could do better.
What would Stace's reply have been if he'd have said the same thing to her?
I should have beat the shit out of me. But at least I know if I could wind her up to the point where I can get out the fucking way. Cage.
Beat her up. Her fault.
It's like on Friends where Ross goes to see that stripper and he's going out with Rachel and she gives him a massive kiss and turns to Phoebe and goes, that'll make him remember me. And she goes, or you've just turned him on and sent him to a stripper. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the thing is, there's times when Stace will tell me straight, I don't feel threatened.
Mm.
And the times when I might pluck up the courage to say something back to her, but I'd definitely do it in front of a camera where there's evidence and there's witnesses. But I think a lot of the times, because we get let into like the back door of a lot of this stuff,
yeah,
you've got to take it for what it is. But I think it was Misha Tate that was sort of hanging off it. And then Ariel was on it, then off it, then back on it again. But he seems to be fucking all over the shop at the minute.
He's mad busy at the moment. Like, he's
falling
out
with Brendan Shaw.
Oh, I saw that as well, yeah. I stay out of the politics of it. It's too draining. It's too exhausting. It's good to have the MMA hour back though.
Yes.
I do like catching those interviews.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd normally get the clips.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Innit? And then I'll go and I'll listen to the rest of the interview if I feel like it's, you know,
it's just interesting. He seems like someone who's been told off one too many times and still feels like he wasn't wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. A lot of people say that about me.
Mate.
I've been told off a few times. Yeah. Still not fucking wrong though, motherfuckers.
Exactly. Exactly.
Stubborn motherfuckers.
I am part of the Helwani era. And we are never wrong, motherfucker.
No, but it was
interesting. But I mean, I think sometimes when you get a few cards like that, it makes these cards so much fucking better.
Yeah, we've had a struggling couple of weeks. Like, it's very rare that the War Room struggles like it has done with those couple of main events. And it was just, there just wasn't really interest in them. But then you can see how they've been saving. Like, they could have taken 267 and 268 and just kind of spread it a little
bit.
Just take one of these really good fights. Like, Frankie Edgar, Marlon Vera could have been a main event.
Or even Aliya Quinta.
Right, Aliya Quinta, Bobby Green could have been a main event. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, each one of these main cards... they're all main events. Like Gaethje Chandler.
Amazing.
UFC Gaethje Chandler, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
Main event.
And Frankie.
Makhachev Hooker.
Dude.
We want that over five rounds. They've been talking about it, haven't they?
I think Hooker won that. He won as much as he could from that, from taking the fight and looking like a solid dude.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he did it for effect.
Mm.
excuse me, he didn't do it for effect in the slightest. He is a solid dude.
Yeah, yeah. But he's coming in because he thinks he's going to win this fight. That makes me excited because some fighters would get in there with Makhachev and be like, it's going to be a hard night.
Yeah.
And I don't think Hooker's that guy. I think he genuinely believes, I'm like, okay, I'm going to catch him with this. I'm going to catch him with this. I see him doing this. I've got this for that.
But the, look who Hooker's training with.
Yeah.
The most underrated, one of the most underrated dudes in the world. Do you know what I mean? Like Volk, to me, when you say... Well,
he's been stuck in the US though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Is that Hooker has. Is he in the US with the...
But
with
he
Volkanovski,
was. But he always trains with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been like kind of floating around. I know he's not at the ideal training camp. Like he was in quarantine or something, and then he's been training at the PI with. Yeah, I don't know if it's the ideal training camp for Makhachev. Like if you're training, if you're fighting Makhachev, you want to go to somewhere like TriStar for eight weeks and make sure you get getting loads of people on your legs trying to take you down against the fence.
But excited to see it because I would want to see. And I've always wanted, whenever like you've got a champ or someone, I'd like to see how they come back.
Mm.
So when you look at someone like Anderson Silva, or you look at GSP against Matt Serra, they're never losing again. Like just that feeling that he got complacent, almost like a teenager with money, and then just sort of was like, he was brought back down to earth with such a hard bump that it's always fascinating to see how they turn it round.
Mm.
Like when you look at Connor. Look at Connor's crazy, like, one minute he's, like, the nicest guy in the world, then he's a fucking villain, then he... But he's it's that insecurity of trying to find something that will motivate him when he's got £100 million in the bank.
Yeah.
So...
He had a wicked Sunday roast the other day as well.
Connor did.
On his Instagram. Did you see that, Jamin? My goodness, that looked like a good meal.
Really?
It makes making me want Yorkshire puddings and mashed potatoes now. Gravy.
I tell you, did a whole roast chicken in the air fryer.
You did mention that. Fuck you didn't go into the story though.
Dude.
You saved it for the listeners.
You can have it if you want it.
Go on,
all
your,
well,
an air fryer.
So an air
like
fryer.
The one that's in our kitchen.
Yeah. So it's like the big tumble drying bucket.
Right.
I don't do chips in it because it feels like I'm cheating. I do that in a deep fat fryer like a man. But we got the air fryer. And I'd done pulled pork the week before because I could just stick it in the slow cooker.
Yeah.
No jokes. So I stick the pulled pork in there. Beautiful. Everyone liked it. Really good. So I was like, I wonder if you can put a whole chicken in a slow cooker. Because you can. Like most of them can just sit in there and disintegrate. And then basically you've got a stew. But like Stacey's nan used to do stew. And instead of using diced beef or whatever meat to put in it, she would use chops.
Mm.
With the fucking bones in.
Really?
Which is as much as like, you know me and food, I'm shoveling
bang.
It in.
Yeah.
Fucking biting through bones. Horrible.
Yeah.
So I thought, I don't really want my chicken to melt down to nothing. So I was like, I wonder if you can air fry it. You can. Check the size of the bird and the size of the basket before you start though, because they will expand. And when you've got a 13-year-old who's a bit cocky in the first place, telling you that, see, Dad, see, I told you, it will grow. And it's not going to come out. I know you had to take the thing to pieces. But it came out like one of the rotisserie chickens, you know, from Sainsbury's.
Did it really? Oh, yeah.
Mate, it was fucking...
Oh,
and Stacey's got one of them skewers, one of the thermometer ones, like a proper chef's one. She's banged that in, goes up to 165.
And like,
mate,
there we go.
Cannibals on the fucking
ready
run.
For brewing.
Yeah, we just smashed it up. Amazing.
Amazing.
Fucking, yeah, so try it. Just... Bit of olive oil, bit of seasoning, get it in there. But you put it
Got
in.
Got to check the size of the bird, though.
Check the size of the bird and the size of your basket.
It'd be better with a pigeon.
Yes, or two.
Two pigeons. You think it'd hold two pigeons?
Easy, hold two pigeons.
Really?
Ours would. Yeah. But you have to put it breast down.
Mm.
Which I know sounds weird, and it goes against everything you've ever
done. But then learned. It's going to keep standing up, innit?
Imagine. Kill the chicken first. Because the feathers will go a bit funky.
Yeah. Don't it air fry the feathers as well?
No, keep them out.
Mm.
Definitely keep them out. It's good though. It is. Do we need visual? Can you just put that in over the top? Jesus, that's a Butlin's gag.
Yeah.
So yeah, so if you're ready for this weekend,
maybe
air fry a whole chicken.
Maybe air fry a whole chicken.
Yeah. Mm. Hit me up. Trust me,
okay. It's
fucking brilliant. I was really impressed. But I didn't realise how big our air fryer was because I was talking the talk at my niece's birthday, and I turned to my brother, says, you could do it, and he's only got a small basket. Couldn't do it.
Mm.
Could probably put a quail in there.
Yeah, you don't want to air fry a quail, do you?
No. Imagine.
Like how many quail eggs do you have to use to make an omelette? It's like they're fucking tiny.
64.
Like, what's the point of that?
My uncle used to pickle quail eggs in Malibu.
Really?
Mm. They were fucking gross.
Yeah, I bet they were.
He loved them. That's like me with scampi fries, though, isn't it? Not everyone likes them.
Scampi fries. Frazzles. They came to mind the other day.
Yeah, see, I don't mind a frazzle, but it gives me acid.
Does it?
Yeah.
Mm.
I have to be sponsored by Gaviscon to eat frazzles.
Oh, that kind of acid. I was thinking something different. Oh, yeah, I was thinking frazzles and LSD.
Didn't send me on an absolute trip. Look how wavy they are. They look like bacon.
Look, get on the frazzle with me. We'll go for a fly.
Just sat surrounded by magic carpet frazzles. Absolutely twatted off.
Don't step too hard. They crush.
Who crushed the magic carpet? Just red fingers, orange fingers.
Yeah, we'll have to get some trashy tempeh crisps for ride along.
Mate, I'm all about them.
You've got the scampi fries cushion.
Yeah, you got the. Well, I get my on Amazon. You can have, if you have repeated orders.
Yeah,
you get a discount on your orders. So if you have something set up, like I think I've got a bottle of Radox, which is 87 pence. One chocolate bar, a Reese's peanut butter cup. Because if you get five things, it gives you 15% off everything. And we have the dog food there. And it's fancy dog food because we're not just feeding them ash and turds. Yeah. So we've got like, it's actually really nice. So we put that and then we get the discount off the other bits. But then we've got these bonus bits. And so I got my delivery of scampi fries the other day.
Nice.
And like no one in the house even thinks it's weird anymore.
No.
So at first when I'm getting one whole box of one flavour crisp delivered and the girls are like, Dad, are you a bit mental? Like,
no one thinks it's weird that you hang the card with all the scampi fries up on the door frame next to the kitchen.
Next to a big pump. What's that? It's milk for your cereal. But yeah,
talking of cereal, that's one thing I do need to get at some point is some of the fucking the fun size Kellogg's. I used to love that. You used to get the block.
When you go on holiday?
Yeah.
But you only had them to go on holiday.
Only on holiday. Because you don't want to take a full box of cornflakes. They're going to go soggy in the tent.
You need something
you can open every day.
That's one of the first things as an adult that I ruined for myself, because I can remember, like, we would never get Coca-Cola very often. It would probably be maybe at Christmas. One of those oversized 3 litre bottles that you had your eye set on for making a rocket pack out of, but your mum threw it away before you got to it. And then the fun side, the variety pack.
Mm-hmm.
So cereal variety pack, there were the miniature boxes of Frosties, like Rice Krispies, whatever the fuck.
Fucking Cheerios. Ricicles. You remember
Ricicles,
them?
I think they got banned.
Why don't we not buy a big box of these? These are fucking delicious.
Yeah, with the marshmallows in.
Yeah.
Mate, they would send you to the fucking moon. Right. They are better than anything I gave you in that brown bag earlier. Honestly.
So
So
we want some Ricicles, some Frazzles, and some LSD.
Oh, dude, I think you fit the trifecta. But I think we might turn inside out and come to a parallel universe.
I think I've got two of those three things in the house. I think we're all good.
If you can find Ricicles, I'll be above and beyond impressed. What was the guy's name?
One of your little, like, space man.
He was a space dude, but he had a name. Rick. Please look it up.
Was it?
Is it Ricicles Rick? Fuck me, if I got that right.
A little astronaut.
Yeah, if someone's already screaming at them, on their phone, fucking Rick, you clown. But yeah, so we would get them. But I bought myself a load because we only got them at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
After the second week of buying them, I was like...
Captain Rick.
See that? No times tables. No fucking geography, nothing.
But you know every mascot of every cereal.
Dog shit names of stupid shit. Oh, God, that's embarrassing. But also quite pleasing to know that I got it right.
Well, I think it's time for a tea.
I'm definitely ready for a tea. Yeah.
Well, we're back ride along, aren't we, on Saturday?
Yeah. I don't think I've got anything else to tell you. I know it's been a while, but I've got... Let me just check real quick because there's been a few mad shit going on.
We've got new Rough House stuff on the website. Check that out. And we're going to do something for Black Friday where you get some free shit.
Yes, we are.
We are.
We're going to hook you right up. So keep an eye on Black Friday for the socials, because we've basically, it'll be a tiered system. So when we do an offer, we'll normally do it so that the offer stacks. So if you spend a certain amount, you'll be rewarded. Nice. I was going to wear my red one today, but I didn't. I wore my script because it's cracked and old.
Cracked and old.
A bit like me. So what we'll do is we'll do the same as before. So we will stack any promotions.
Mm.
So if, for example, and don't quote me on this because it might not be right, but if the first tier that you hit is a free pin badge and then the next tier you hit is a beanie or a cap or whatever, if you hit both, or if you get to the second tier, we will include the first one.
Ah, nice. Okay.
So then it's not like
you get the first prize and the second prize.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the third prize.
Yeah. So sometimes if you work it right and you've got a brother-in-law you don't particularly like, he's good for a pin badge. They can backwards research it and find out you've spent a tenner on them. Mm. We know you haven't. Fuck them. Next, the beanie. It's a £20 token, right? So if you're then giving that to your granddad, your dad, your uncle, they're looking at, and they will look it up. People do that. They're just shit fuckers.
And I want one of each of those colours as well.
Exactly. Yeah, so we've got some exclusive colours that Dan has just handpicked. We've basically been working on a few different projects, different designs, which Dan has just put a finishing touch on, which has broken my heart a little bit because it was a colourway that I didn't think of, but he will get full credit
for that. It looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks really good.
Looks good.
So we've got...
Great design, mate. I mean, I literally just changed the colour of the T-shirt just a tiny bit.
Yeah, which is what made it pop, but, you know.
Teamwork, isn't it?
Yeah, right. It makes the dream work, right?
Yeah, that's it.
I just cried myself to sleep tonight. Did you have a good time at Dan's, Owen? Yeah. It was like...
You did like 99% of the work.
Working on it for ages. Bigger boys came and took my money away and a kid. Why are you kiddy crying? Just broke my heart a little
bit. You'll understand when you see it.
It's sick.
That's good.
So bear in mind, you can cover a lot of people's Christmas presents in that. Sticker packs will be coming back at some point. I know a few people have asked for that, but it's just been... It's a bit of a head fuck.
Yeah.
Because they're so expensive. Like the stickers we make and send to people are, they're an insane amount individually when you think about it. But you have to have so many to make to be able to make them cheap enough or to make them reasonable. So for everyone who's been asking, I've still been slipping stickers in. If Wad asks, don't fucking tell him. Whatever you fucking do, please don't tell him because they are a currency in his eyes.
That's the new mantra for
don't
the company.
Don't tell Wad. Fuck me. When I saw the orders coming through, I was like, discount code, don't tell Wad. Fair enough. So the stickers.
Yeah, we do have a discount code on the website, which is don't tell Wad. So if you want
a few percent off.
If you want to
just don't tell him. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Now, there's stuff I need to tell you about, but the one thing I needed to ask you was, have you ever... been making a cup of tea, and you know when you get to the end of the, like, our tea bags are in our pot and our sugar's in our pot. This happened the other day that I ran out of sugar, so I went and filled the pot with sugar, and then I got the kettle and filled the sugar pot with water.
Oh no.
Do you know how to dry sugar out?
No Suck it.
Fuck it, honestly. You know, as soon as I did it, right, bear in mind, there's water and sugar water everywhere. It's like a prison trap. Stace was screaming at me and I picked my phone up to make a note of the fucking stupid thing that I'd done. And then she reminded me and she's like, what are you doing? I says, I've got to tell Dan, that was fucking ridiculous. Bear in mind, this thing's still fucking overflowing. And she went, you did it with tea bags once. And I was like, oh yeah. And I did it. I mashed out probably 60 tea bags in a fucking pot.
I don't do that stuff, but I do put stuff in the fridge by accident.
Oh, yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, if ever I lose some, I'll go and check the fridge. I do put stuff in the fridge, or I'll catch myself walking to the fridge with my phone, and I'm like, no, this don't need refrigerating.
Yeah, but the milk's still on the side. And
yeah.
Yeah, Stace does that with the, she puts the TV remote in the fridge. She's done it.
That's so you can't change the channel, though.
Exactly, but at first when she was pregnant, so like pregnancy is a massive get out of jail free card. It's a bit like that I'm on card, which it happens a bit more extreme. Because you know when you fall out with your missus and it's that time and they're like, they don't apologize. I'm not saying they apologize. That's impossible. But they do look at you and go, you know, and it's like, fair enough. That's fine. The playground's closed. We get it. But when they're pregnant, they have got the biggest excuse because they can be fuming and sad and annoyed all at the same time.
And just craving a nice, crisp, cold remote control.
Yes. Yeah, and some Chew-Its and mayonnaise. So, honestly, even now, she's done it since. And I'll be like, have you had the remote? And she's like, nope, you definitely had it. You definitely. And then open the fridge. There it is. Fucking frustrating.
It's like stepbrothers, isn't it?
It is. Honestly, we are exactly like that.
Are the sofa cushions in the oven? Yeah.
Yeah, check. What was the other one? Check the fridge or something.
Yeah, was it like her purse was in the fridge or something.
Yeah, purse was in the fridge. Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah,
that's when we let the kids watch.
Did you? Yeah.
Fuck me. Well, you know when you fucking halfway, it's like taking a kid on a roller coaster. You know when you're halfway around, you realise they're too small. There's no getting off.
Yeah.
You're on it now.
You're holding them into the ride.
Yeah, I did do that with Alton Towers. Sorry, I know you said you need a piss.
No, you're all good. I need a tea, that's what I need.
We went to Alton Towers. My girls are both small. Because me and Stace are small. So, but they've always been like daredevils. So when we go to Alton Towers or anywhere like that, I'll always try and make them like stand on my foot or something to see if they can get a bit higher. And the one time I really regretted it was the Alton Towers swimming baths. There's like a twin tube and the kid has to be a certain height. And when we went and got the thing, I managed to distract them enough with a baby in a carrier and some robbed gear. I was like, see, it all comes round. So I managed to distract him enough to be able to get Moo to come on with me. And honestly, when I put her in this ring, she was this big. It was like a grain of rice sat on your fucking laptop. But I shit myself. But I didn't want to show her any fear. And the thing is, it's a flume that you go around, but it's got conveyor belts in it.
Right.
And
honestly, so you can't be hanging through it.
No, I thought I just sent my kid to be killed. I spent, we queued up for that ride for about an hour because it was brand new. And I sat her in it and I didn't enjoy one second of it. She got off the other end and was like, Mum, take me again. I was like, no fucking way, ever. We've been on it since, but... Yeah, it's there's height restrictions for a fucking reason.
Yeah.
Don't be a scumbag like me. Don't do it. It's not fair.
Right.
But that's it, dude.
Ride along then.
We'll be there.
Saturday at 7. As soon as the main card starts, we'll be streaming live on the YouTube channel, on this channel that you're watching the podcast on.
Why is it at 7?
Because it's in the Middle East. It's in Fight Island, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh. So is it Fight Island this week and then New York the week after? So it'll be a bit later the week after.
Okay.
Probably about 3 or 4 hours later.
I just get used to watching it.
But we can't do the fucking ride-alongs in the middle of the night. Like we did a few of them, didn't we? And it was just like the whole fucking week's gone.
It's when people get mad.
Yeah.
There's not much energy. He just got sparks. He's like, bro, it's fucking 7 in the morning. We have been up all fucking night.
Yeah. And I've been talking about these fights all fucking week.
Yeah.
No, it was just the time which wasn't working for us. And then we've got squads training on Sunday mornings at 8 a.m.
Imagine if you had to do that after a ride along.
Yeah, no, I just wouldn't go to sleep. But then I was doing interviews and stuff right after as well. It was just frying me. So yeah, it was just too much. But this time, because it's in a good time zone, we're gonna do a ride along. And maybe the week after as well, we'll see.
Okay. Well, I will definitely be here for this week.
Winner.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
7 o'clock Saturday. We'll see you at the ride along. Nice one, mate.
Nice one, dude. There you go.